SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Yo, hour number two here. Moneyline 844-843-6879. Guessing where JP is going? I'm going to go first. I'm going to go right first on the board here. 901 on the rotation. St. Louis Cardinals, Miles Michaelis. -1.5. It's expensive, though. So you know what? I didn't even look at the number, so I don't really like this pick, but I got to stick to it since I said it. It's minus 134. I was thinking it was probably going to be around that, like, plus 104 range, but it's minus, so I'm sticking with it, though, even though I don't like it anymore.
Hold on. Let's take our time here. JP, did Donnie nail it?
Man. No, Donnie didn't nail it.
Yeah, okay. There's no chance that he's going to take that minus like that. So, all right. So, go ahead, K-Dub. What's your guess?
Now, I've also told the people behind the scenes, if it ends up that JP is taking a run and a half, I want a second guess. But I think he's going to lay a run and a half.
Right.
I think it's with the Toronto Blue Jays. I think it's under the guidelines. Well, there's no way this group loses again. At home, Cubs coming to town, they smash them.
Hey.
JP?
How do you feel about me laying a run and a half with the Yankees?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
There we go.
I tell you this. My guess if he took a run and a half was the Angels. That was my guess if he was going to take the run and a half.
Mm.
Yankees stink. Angels are hot. They play close games now, the Yanks. How do you feel about that, Donnie, laying the run and a half with the
That's a tough scene out there. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. I don't even know if they should have been favored by that 184, as I said. But it's right-handers matching up against a lefty. We'll see. But he's been pretty good, Suarez. Hey. Tough night on the card here. I'm surprised they didn't take Brianna Bello here, right, with the Red Sox.
Brea, come on, dude. The placement of that, though, is really all over the map. I don't feel bad about that one. There's a couple names I don't really I could just kind of take an extra bounce on and get there. But the Brea, like, I'm not saying it felt great coming out of the hand. Because it was certainly a unique name, but I was never going with Brian. It just didn't fit.
Yeah, who knows? We'll find out the true calling, but I think it is Brian at this point. But let's not wait any longer here on a Monday. It's new week, new money, K-Dub, as we like to say.
Can you hear music in the background by chance?
Yes, I can.
I mean,
843-6879. The booming systems are out here because you know why? They need to hear the X-Man. They need to hear him today, and he's waiting online. What do we got?
Big time.
What's good?
Yo.
Welcome.
What's going on? Thanks for the welcome,
we need winners.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got them for you. We got the L.A. Dodgers run line. The Toronto Blue Jays run line. Serena Williams money line.
Whoa.
And we going a little FIBA basketball. Puerto Rico, money line over Uruguay. Four-leg parlay.
Wow. How about
this
that?
This parlay is probably illegal in like 16 states. It sounds just fantastic.
I mean, this is a tiny piece of business here. Wow. Wow, that is some good stuff, man. How about that?
Multiple TVs needed tonight to cash in, but that's what he does. Comes in, hit and run across the board. Serena's on the docket. She does play tonight, too. I did see that update as I'm watching
tonight?
Tennis Live Open. What is it? She can't be a dog, can she? Early round? They don't really think they match up. Hold on here. Where do I find this?
What US do you think?
Open.
It's pro wrestling? They give her a job?
Yeah, she's a minus 345. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Wow.
Oh, now, see, this could be pro wrestling because when you have a superstar going out, you look at the ratings. What's good for your ratings, K-Dub? Now, I don't know what they can pull. Trust me. I'm just trying to, like, do the math. Like, if I was in charge, we're trying to make sure the easiest draw possible out here happens at this point.
I actually think you would want – I mean, we're not saying this is happening, by the way. Maybe Donnie is. But would want Serena to, like not drop a single game. Like, just pure domination.
Yes.
Like, hey, could this be your year? Best she's looked in, like, years. Like, here we go for a big tournament. So how about that? Serena in action. You know, have you – and I'm not saying have you watched. I have not watched. Mm-hmm. Nobody's watched. But have you been seeing the highlights of the FIBA World Cup qualifiers and everything?
Not really. No.
Oh, okay. Mm-mm. I've been seeing like a lot of like Giannis is out there just dunking all over fools and whatnot.
Where is
and
this tournament at?
I can't tell you where they're playing, I have to admit. But like the fact that Giannis is out there playing in like pretty competitive, very meaningful basketball to the country, like games, yes, is certainly an interesting thing.
Yes, it is. Very interesting, which is, it's fun because you have to keep in mind, no, you should be, these guys love to play the game. And you can't tell somebody you're going to be in a FIBA tournament that, oh, well, sit it out. These guys play basketball. It's what they do. They sharpen their tools, man. They work on stuff in these competitive environment. Anybody would be out there, and you'd be happy that your squad is out there, except for Joel Embiid. He should not be allowed to play in any of this stuff. He needs the rest. But everybody else, let me get out there and have at it. Now,
that's a good point, though. There are certain guys that were like, hey,
yeah,
where
exactly
do you think you're going?
Yeah, let's see you hit him turnaround jump shot in the gym. Like, ah, it's good enough for the summer. Shut it down. We'll see you in training camp. Now, there's some news coming out of Steelers camp that really gets me unnerved because I know NFL teams can do this, a la Ryan Jensen for Tampa Bay. Still waiting back to see what that MRI said about a month ago at this point. Najee Harris news, which one of those guys that I was might tee up to say, this is where I want to go with one of my player props. Now I'm not so sure at this point. Find out the injury and what it might mean for the Steelers here. Right on this episode of The Break. If you want to get involved, do it. 844-843-6879.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rolling through the 2 o'clock hour right here on Moneyline. It's not Kevin in the afternoon. 844-843-6879 if you want to get involved. Now, I promise, we are going to talk college football and have a lot of fun with that. Quick topic that comes up, because sometimes when you see perceived value, you want to let the people know and see where this might factor in. We're talking about Najee Harris, the all-world running back. Should I say all-everything running back for the Steelers. Three down back, catching out of the backfield, rushing, a monster part of that offense this year for the Steelers once again. It turns out that he suffered a sprained Lisfranc injury in camp. One of the worst injuries you can have outside of a torn ACL. Now, it says here, beat writer Josh Rountree says, Najee Harris says he has a sprained Lisfranc in camp. Normally a 4 to 6 week recovery. He's at 4 weeks right now. The reason I ask at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, Kevin, you can bet Najee Harris's regular season total rushing yards, over under 1,100.5 yards. It's one of those where we talk about Mike Evans at wide receiver. We know he's dominant. Mike Evans is healthy. He does whatever he wants. 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns plus, you name it, he will get that. But if you're starting the season with a hamstring injury, I can't bet Mike Evans. I love Mike Evans. I want to bet Mike Evans. I can't do it. Najee Harris was one of those guys I was circling saying, you know, if all else fails for the Steelers, Kevin, his usage rate is going to be through the roof. Right. Do we change that now?
Yeah, I think so. Now, did they say the TJ injury is already, and like, wasn't Deontay Johnson also banged up for them in that preseason game, if I'm not mistaken, for Pittsburgh? So a little bit of a nightmare scenario going on for them right now. But yeah, I do not think, look, season-long player props, you are up against it, man, in terms of the potential for nightmare injury. It is something that I think, Donnie, last year you bet five guys, four of them experienced injury at some point.
Correct.
Right? I don't think you can bet somebody that already enters the year unless you're betting under. Because you know it's always kind of a trip point that can derail a bet that's going well for you. I'll give you another. Like, Darren Waller is under or nothing. There's no conversation for me to have, Donnie. So to your point on Najee, I think it's because you were someone who wanted to bet is over. I don't think you can reverse course now and come to the under. Because I think you'd be really bothered if he played, you know, 16 games and still got there, right?
Yeah.
But
yes,
I similarly now think you might have to pull back on your over thoughts.
Yes, and where does that line end up? Because the news came out yesterday. Like, that beat writer report is from yesterday. So it's not like I went to the, you know, FanDuel Sportsbook and say, hey, it was 1150 and now it's lower. 1100 sounds about right? Like, they're not ringing the – still leaving it up at this point, but it's one of those, you're right. I'm not necessarily saying let's just fade it immediately to the under, but it already has me talking myself out of even thinking about it over, because the worst thing you need to do is say, let me get this straight, Donnie. You knew he had a Lisfranc, and he said he was okay, and he's coming back, but then you – miss four games or five games, and they tell you midseason, like, yeah, he doesn't practice that much during the week, and they're just trying to save him and say, yeah, I deserve this because I should have known better not to do it. And the point number two, I believe this one, the Pat McAfee show, and I want to say maybe it was, I can't remember, it wasn't Breer. What's the guy that always goes on there?
Rappaport,
I think it was. Mm-hmm. We might get resolution on Jimmy Garoppolo. By the end of, was it tomorrow or today, did he say at that point? But sooner or later, we are going to get that. That's going to be one of those where we finally can slam the door and say, all right, where is he going to end up going, and is it good for his career? But your final thoughts, I want to say, on Jimmy Garoppolo, because I don't know how much longer we're going to get to talk Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I did believe, they don't have to cut him tomorrow. Like, if he makes the team, he's not necessarily on the team. He has to make it to, I believe, the Friday before the game, the first game, before it becomes completely guaranteed. So they could hope, pull that, oh, yeah, we're going to keep him on the team. But would you do that despite knowing that, like, hey, man, we really want to keep this backup offensive lineman? We can't, because we're going to keep the charade going with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that Garoppolo is still on this football team, to be honest with you. We've made the point countless times that he himself should have come to terms with how this would end and ask for his release. That obviously has not happened. And when he is released, which he is going to be, I still don't have a clear path for suitors. I don't think there's a clear and obvious fit, Donnie. I don't know if you think there is one, but this is... like, him being on that football team now is such a secondary matter to me, right, in terms of Garoppolo. I still have no idea where he's going to land, because Seattle's named Geno the guy. Cleveland's going to go with Brissett. He maybe could have been up on those teams, but again, I think it's so far from a guarantee.
You're right, and for Seattle, it doesn't make any sense for him to go to Seattle. Like, Seattle, whether they like it or not, or Pete Carroll's just in the space cadet all by himself, they need to stink and stink really bad and get their franchise quarterback, which there could be a few of them coming up in this draft. But for Cleveland, he gets cut. You don't owe him any money. Hey, Jimmy, there's a really good chance that you come in here, prove your weight. It's a good football team where you might be able to get some work here. Deshaun Watson's going to come back. Maybe you're the two or the three at that point.
Yeah.
But I think this could be good, because what's good for your career? A, playing football, and B, winning football. Hey, look at Jimmy Garoppolo, man. Tough situation. Got cut by the Niners, goes out and plays good football for Cleveland. Now he might be on that Mitchell Trubisky path of trying to be a reclamation project. Who's going to take, you know, a chance on him next year, which if he plays well in Cleveland, somebody will. Everybody needs quarterbacks. But I do think that's the best move. It's just funny we talk about, hey, should they make a move and trade for him? Nobody's trading for that guy. And apparently, I wish we had like an intern that could go back and just say, hey, clip Donnie and Kevin on any show they've done talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, and we laugh at the national media for months and months and months and months and months that we got it right.
Yeah, I mean, we have been, again, not just more right, like these pundits, like, the reporters on the situation were feeding people horrific information, whether they believed it or were being lied to or knew they were being lied to. That's up for them to figure out. But it was always nonsensical he would be moved for a first-round pick. And then it became even more nonsensical that his injury wouldn't matter to potential teams. And more and more and more that became obvious to everybody out there. But, Donnie, I've asked you so many times, you know, we always joke, like, oh, you'd love to ask me, hey, when are we getting the Watson news? Like, I love to go to you. Hey, Donnie, where's Jimmy Garoppolo going to land? Like, if I told you he's cut right now, is Cleveland the team that you would put as the favorite to land Garoppolo?
I think I would. Not from a perspective of, you know, which team would want him more than Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about from a perspective of Jimmy Garoppolo and his, you know, agent or whatever, his agents or whoever's representing him would say, hey, look, this could be a really good spot for you. Play on a good football team, keep their, you know, above float, and when it comes time where Deshaun Watson does come back, you turn the backup. If he gets hurt, you know, you're still there in the team. I do think there is some merit to him going there, as opposed to, Man, well, the Houston Texans don't need him. The Seattle Seahawks don't need him. Like, the Seahawks would need him if they had Russell Wilson at quarterback. Say, hey, you know what? Let's get a really good backup. In case Russ gets banged up like he did last year for 4 to 5 weeks, we have a valuable guy that's been around the block that's not going to panic when he gets in there. Those are the type of teams I think make some sense. Not because, hey, they're a bad football team, bring them in. No, that's not where you need Jimmy Garoppolo. You need him on a decent football team where he might be able to get you a win or two. If you're bad like Seattle, what do you care about if you get an extra win or two? It actually hurts.
For me, it's the Rams, because I think you're already entering this season with some concerns around your quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that's a football team that is title or bust. And if your guy is injured, right, you're still, even if Stafford was injured, you're not going to be satisfied with a losing year, right? So to have a guy like a Garoppolo behind him, like, Donnie, if I told you, hey, Stafford goes down, but it's going to be Garoppolo for, even if I told you the rest of the season, can still make the playoffs and be competitive.
Yes.
Who knows? Because there's so much talent there, and you've got Sean McVay, of course.
No, and that does make sense. And also, the trump card here is, this guy has been around Sean McVay, out in the, talking about the division, right?
Yeah.
He knows the 49ers as well. Hey, coach, man, third down here. What's that audible out here? Look for him to throw a slant, and this guy runs it out. It's genius. It would be the worst case scenario for the Niners if they cut him loose. He goes to the Rams and helps the Rams help them beat him. It could happen here. But you know what? We're going to talk college football. It's a big weekend slate. Week one. Come on back with us on Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All righty. Monday afternoon, little college football talk. Never hurt anybody. It's Moneyline 844-843-6879 if you want to get involved. Donnie Wright side along with Kevin Walsh. I like this. Now, this gets me excited. Week zero, it was football, right? All right. See if we can get through there. And no real big implications other than we all laugh at the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and that was the enjoyment that we got out of Saturday. This week on a Thursday, you got six games. Ball State, Tennessee, West Virginia, Pittsburgh, Central Michigan, Oklahoma State, Penn State, Purdue, Louisiana Tech, Missouri, New Mexico State, Minnesota. Every single one of those games, at least one Power 5 team is going to be involved. And I got to tell you, I like that. And also, we don't have to wait all day, Kevin, right? Oh, first game kickoff, 12:30. Last game, 10 o'clock, spread out. All right. These ones start at 7, start at 7, start at 7, start at 8, start at 8, start at 9. Fantastic.
Oh, that's what you, like, every game on at the same time?
Yes, love
like
this.
Like, everything needs to be at 7. Are there any late games on that Thursday card?
9 o'clock is the latest game at Minnesota, New Mexico State, which is the one game that nobody's going to care. So good job by the NCAA. There's two games, right? Tennessee should smoke Ball State. Minnesota should smoke New Mexico State. Sandwich those in and throw a couple games in that are going to matter. Like WVU, Pittsburgh, it's a nice game. I love rivalry games. Mm-hmm. Penn State, Purdue. Let me get a look at Penn State. Let me see where Purdue's at this year in the Big Ten. I can get down with that.
Those are games that are underneath the touchdown at this point now because the pit numbers move. And those are really important football games for those teams. Those are, and I'll tell you where those games are also really important. If you're a win total backer, if you've got a pit over, you're looking at that West Virginia game as a win, right? That's one of those that you guard. That's a win. Yeah. That's one of my wins. So that's a huge game. If you're someone like me, who, by the way, favorite Big Ten win total we talked about was Purdue. On that 7.5, now plus money, Penn State was a game you felt you could have. It's not like a count it guarantee in the back pocket, but it's a winnable football game. You're home, and it's underneath a touchdown. So, huge games here from the win total perspective, too, as well.
I'm going to take a look at this Ball State-Tennessee game starting off. 68.5 as a total with a line of 34.5, which is up at the FanDuel Sportsbook from 31.5. Because then we do know that Tennessee might be able to put up some points, decent quarterback, SEC team. But MAC teams, what's the MO? There's no resistance on defense. So you would think Tennessee, if that game goes over 68.5, Tennessee's probably got their team total. Now, I don't know, being this early in the week, sometimes I start to filter through. With, like, team totals? Let me see. Tennessee, at least at FanDuel anyway. No, nothing is there just yet. me see about another book here just to check on it. Because
I see DraftKings maybe on like the team props tab. You would have your best bet of them, I think, having it up. But it's a Monday. Nah, then again, the game is a Thursday, so. But yeah, I think maybe DK would be a better bet to try
and
find
see
that.
All of that. So let's just see SEC. Let me just check this real quick. Tennessee, 34.5, 67.5 spread total. Let's see, just totals. No, they don't have it up either. Yeah, hopefully they'll filter through quickly here, because you're right. It is a Thursday as opposed to now.
But now you can do math, by the way, if you wanted to get it.
No, I know. Yeah. I just like the officials, and then maybe take a look at some of those alt lines where you can get it under, you know, five touchdowns or whatever it is at this point. Now, Friday, almost the same thing. Five games starting at 7 o'clock, two games. That's 7 even. 7:30, then 8 o'clock, then a 10 o'clock game with TCU and Colorado. Now, these games here, Virginia Tech, Old Dominion, 7 o'clock start. Western Michigan and Michigan State, that game starts at 7 o'clock. Temple and Duke from Duke, that's a 7:30 start. -6.5 favorite, by the way, for the Duke Blue Devils there. Illinois, who we just saw in week zero, got that dress rehearsal out of the way with an easy victory. Now you see them go on the road to play Indiana. This line opened at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin, at -5.5. That now sits at a field goal, and then TCU and Colorado late night. Yeah. -3.
Pretty interesting.
People got to look at Illinois, like, hey, they played, they looked decent.
They won by
and
30, though.
Yeah.
Now I actually watched at least a good amount of the first half because I had the Chase Brown prop. But you wouldn't think. Then again, I guess it's what people that were watching the game and closely watched DeVito and said, no way, no how, we got to get over here.
DJ like, Tommy DeVito.
This guy's terrible. That's pretty interesting. Was Illinois your win total in the Big Ten towards an under? Am I correct?
Under.
That?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Okay, so this is a big game for you then, the Indiana
yes,
game, because that would
correct.
Be one, if you could snag it, that'd be fantastic.
Exactly. Like, slight favorite there, more of a 50-50 game. If they win this, then you're saying, Illinois is probably going to get it, because this is one of those where you were factoring in, even though it wasn't a, hey, they're playing Ohio State type game. They need to lose this game. That's one of those where you have the leeway of like maybe two games. This one they have to lose if that one's going to cash. They did look decent, but again, you're going to look decent when, what was it, 5 for 30, the quarterback, or 5 for 20 for like 30. I think it was 5 for 20 for 30 yards was the Wyoming quarterback. They weren't bringing much to the table. And Illinois just said, look, we have a good running back, big offensive line. We're just going to beat you up out here. And they did that. But then again, the public sees that and says, ooh, getting points? Yeah. Sign me up.
What I can't wait to see is what they do with that Chase Brown prop. So in my research building up to that game, he hit the note card right away. And it was a guy that I said, okay, I want to bet this guy's prop because there's no way they're going to stop him. If you looked at what he did, Donnie, in wins last season – for Illinois, he was going to have this monstrous game. Now, I didn't think the number, though, was going to be 100.5 yards pregame. That surprised me. I just didn't think they would hang a number that big, right? I would have anticipated seeing more of the, like, 84.5. They went 100.5. Didn't matter. He cashed it at halftime, Donnie. The 100.5 rushing total. Dominant fashion against now an Indiana team. I really cannot wait to see what they do with that Chase Brown number. Really, really fascinating stuff to me.
Yeah, four players coming back on the offense for Indiana, which includes not Michael Penix, nor my guy Freifogel, or even Peyton Hendershot. So they're replacing a lot of guys there in a team that's already taken the field. Now, having said that, when you say opening day, right, you have running back props that are coming out, you could bet into them. Yeah. Was it Trey Sermon? Who was it? Who was the starting running back for Ohio State? That was like a 100-some-odd yards plummeting on game day, and it turned out like he wasn't even in the game plan, but factored on as he was the A1 back for Ohio State.
It was against Minnesota. I'm pulling the box score up. Have to find it. We cannot be left here without knowing. Because
Master Teague, maybe? Who was it?
Was it Master Teague supposed to be the guy, and it ended up being Trevion Henderson?
Yes.
Is that maybe the way it played out?
Yeah, like the dude was over 100 yards like game day and eventually plummeted down pretty far. But I got a kick out of that because I think it was one of those games where we were watching on In-Play Sports Tonight. It's like, hey, let's get down on this. And let's just take the starting running back for Ohio State. You know he's running wild.
So Trevion Henderson had 2 carries for 15 yards. Master Teague had 6 for 29. I don't know. Mm-hmm. One of those guys was, I think it was Master Teague.
I want to say Master Teague, yeah.
I think you're right.
His name rings a bell.
The guy who ended up getting the workload was Mayan Williams, but here was the workload he got. 9 carries, but he turned that into 125 yards. Man,
yeah.
Do you remember DRS that game, like betting it and everything?
No, was Minnesota up in that game? I remember it vaguely at that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Minnesota was up 14-10 at the break. Mm-hmm. So this was a weekday game, actually, because we were on air for it. And mm-hmm. I remember do we jump in? And that was one of those in-game bets where you had not a moment of hesitation, doubt,
that's
or
right.
question.
I remember.
Ask. You were like, they are going to smash this.
That's
team.
Right.
Because I think I bet the Ohio State team total live. And you're like, yeah, look, forget that. Like, you should win. But I'm telling you right now, because I think Donnie dropped to like, it might have honestly dropped to like 2.5. And they won the game by 14.
I remember.
Or
that.
Something like that. They absolutely ran them, though.
Yeah, that's good. A good memory by you at that point. But there we go. Thursday and Friday. And then coming into Saturday here, obviously a massive, massive slate. Some of the bigger games on deck, obviously Notre Dame and Ohio State, 7:30 p.m. afternoon, actually still night action as well. Utah and Florida. And there was, who's the 3:30 game? That was a big one out there. Oh, yeah, Oregon and Georgia down in the Dome. That one's going to be up, so it's a fun game. It doesn't make sense. Like, I saw that line and be like, man, boy, oh, boy, back in the day, you'd just be like, well, hold on here. Florida in the swamp, Utah getting points. So I bit right into that.
Yeah, never in a million years, right? But that is one of those games where Florida was an initial favorite, And not only are we now here with Utah laying a number, but this is a Utah team that some people have not only winning the Pac-12, going to the college football playoff. I can't tell you that all of those people who think that will lose hope immediately, but mm-hmm. I think most of them will if they lose that opening game to Florida. I think a opening loss to the Gators, if you are a Utah Utes long-term backer, it's Nebraska-esque. I think it is. I think it's
if who loses that game?
If Utah loses, I think the vibe around it is Nebraska-esque. Yes, because Donnie, they've been
Napier
betting this
out of that.
For
Jeez.
No, but I see. Well, I guess you can't tell. Like, hey, we're not even favored to win this game. Like, but this is his first season, right? Not the Gators.
Yeah.
So, man, but that would be huge. It's a really big game.
That's a tough scene, man. You open up the Gators at home. Your dogs are ready to get beat by Utah. Those people are coming for you right away, man. It's like, what do we hire here? You can't beat Utah at home. Where does it leave us with Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and everybody else? We're going to hit those phone lines here coming up after the break. If you want to get involved, 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back out of here. 20 on the gun. Fast-moving show as usual. Radio Moneyline. Sirius XM channel 159 on the grid. It's Donnie and Kevin. Now, we got a topic here talking college football. What are we talking about? Maybe little Notre Dame, K-Dub.
Yeah, I'm just curious about how much you believe this and how much you think this will matter. This is pretty good here. So I guess Marcus Freeman's at a press conference. Mm-hmm. Someone mentioned the spread in the game against Ohio State. Here's what he said back. I didn't know that. I'm going to write that down. He said 17.5 points, right? We'll use that in a team meeting today. It's good to know. Now, I think it's fair to question whether or not he genuinely didn't know the spread. I just feel like that's common knowledge. I could be wrong.
He knows it.
Maybe these guys don't know. But like, what's the message in the meeting there? Like, hey, what did they just find out that people are counting them out in the Ohio State?
Yeah, exactly. Just woke up. You know what I mean? It was all roses, and hey, man, we got an opening week. I think we're on even strength with this team. Hey, coach, by the way, you're getting about 3 touchdowns. Now, hold on now. Who said this? Let me write this down. Let me tell the boys in the back room that we're favored, you know, dogs by 17. Trust me on this one. Everybody knows the spread, including the coach. He's not so far buried in his eye. I don't even look up for that stuff. You know it because your players already know it as well. Boosters are telling you all offseason, Kevin, hey, man, what do you think? What do you think? Hey, if you don't have 17 and a half, man, you can get inside that 17 and a half. What's 17? What's that guy? No, you know what he's talking about. Stop. He knows.
But also, it's just gambling is so common these days, right?
Yes.
We don't have to act like it's known, right? I am sure that he is curious what outsiders are saying. Maybe he's not, though. I don't know. Sometimes people are very insulated and whatnot. But I do, because I feel as if, though, the read on that is, wow, 17 and a half. I'm going to use that in a meeting today. So he says that in the meeting. They're like, no way. Like, or how many people go, what, you just found out? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, how many people are like, no,
it's our team,
not Marcus.
Entire team knows exactly what that is. Now, the best part about this is if, like, somebody has an issue with, like, hey, man, you're a coach talking about the spread, man, and we're going to open up an investigation at this point. Or the first coach at the end of the game goes, hey, man, we didn't play all that well, but, you know, we played better than the experts actually thought, if you catch my drift. You know what I mean? Like, got inside that number late in the game.
Yeah.
I need that.
There was a good little quote. I always appreciate the little nods from the commentators. The very end of the Florida State game against Duquesne.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I think they're up 40, I think 43-3, I want to say the score was. And they had backups in to where they were letting them play. Like, it wasn't handoff, bleed clock. It's
yes.
Like, you guys are all terrible. These are fair reps here for us. But they ultimately couldn't pick up, like, a third and manageable. And it was, like, very close, though. Like, I think it was, like, a fourth and one. It's like, all right, let's see what they'll do.
Yeah.
Looks like their decision is a punt here. That'll certainly matter to some. Kind of, I like the little nod there. I'm sure some people were, because, you know, if FSU would have went for it, they'd probably pick it up. They could have moved into scoring range. But once they punted that away, that game was over. So, I don't know. I always appreciate the little nods from the commentators about kind of how the spread is going, or the total even.
Me too. Let's open up the phone lines here, because you know why? It's a Monday. It's the summer. And the moose is loose. Moose, it's Monday. Moneyline, what do we got?
Well, we're still here in Ohio because the wife got a new job, and then we're going to head out over. Well, it opened up a 4-day vacation over Memorial Day, so we're going to take that to our advantage because I can't spend time away from her. I mean, we've been together 35 years.
Exactly.
You know,
you're running wild out there in AC.
But what I have. Yeah, but what I have for you, I want to start off with a good recipe, and then we'll talk a little Browns, and then I got a bet slip that I placed on a parlay. So, anyways, Kevin, do you like pickles? And Donnie, do you like pickles?
No.
Yes, I do. Pickles on my burger, I'm in.
I don't. That's all Donnie.
Okay, so. All right. So, DRS. So, you get a jar of pickles. And after you get done eating all the pickles, usually the brine gets tossed down the sink. Okay?
Gotcha.
Get yourself a nice big bone-in pork chop, inch and a half, and soak it in the pickle brine for 24 hours, up to 24 hours, 3 to 24 hours. Brown it on a cast iron pan, okay? And then you put it in the oven at 350. You'll be absolutely amazed on how it turns out. Okay, so here's my slip, and then I'll just say one thing about the Browns. So I did a parlay. I took Baltimore over the Jets, giving up 6.5. I took Bengals, giving up 6.5 over the Steelers, and I took San Francisco, giving up 6.5 over the Bears for a plus 540. So a unit bet's going to turn back $630. And then I went out to breakfast this morning at the Racino, played the Buffaloes, and about the fourth pull in, I hit $970.
Buffaloes.
So it was
love the Buffaloes.
It was profitable for me to stay home. Now, here's my other thing, and before I turn off my pie hole, I think Brissett is going to get benched. In the first half, maybe
Ooh.
Maybe start in the third corner, and Dobbs is coming in, because if you look at Dobbs, completion ratio, and he is absolutely torn up preseason. Granted, he is playing against second and third starters, but what they're saying, rumblings around here, Brissett gets booted, Dobbs gets in as the starting, and Garoppolo or Jimmy G comes in after that. So it's going to be an interesting week to see what happens, gentlemen. Very interesting week. And
excited.
Mac Nation is right around the corner. Mac Nation.
It is.
That statement from Notre Dame was absolutely ridiculous. Man, they knew that months ago. I mean, when the schedule first came out. You know, and what's he going to use that as? Is cannon fodder to fire people up? I mean, social media and the newspaper. I mean, that's everywhere. So, but great talking with you guys as always. And I got the utmost respect for all three of you guys. So listen to you every day.
Appreciate it.
There it is.
Appreciate it as
the moose is loose out here. And I think he's on the same wavelength here, K-Dub, about Notre Dame. I mean, you lose this game if you're Notre Dame. I mean, you got to second guess who the head coach is at this point, right?
No, obviously.
Is it too early to start that or no?
Obviously. Now, I'll say this. When does Nick Saban create his own sports book so Bama can finally be booked as
a dog?
Right? Just be frothing at them. I'd be like, hey, did you guys
see this here? Now, feed into this one. Like, you're talking about, like, Will Anderson. Like, what's he thinking about? I mean, he's probably like, hey, coach, what are we going to win the national championship? I don't know, 4-4. I thought we were like 5-40-1. Like, we are underdogs every game, coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I like that, though. Like, hey, what are we to win the title? Plus 180. Psh, nobody believes in us. You got to a plus number? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, it's minus.
Well, by the way, you're the favorites at it. What? You didn't say that ain't the favorite. We're getting plus money at this point.
Doesn't sound like a favorite to me. Let me say this other thing, though, to Moose's commentary there. A lot of good stuff from Moose on that call. Now, Brissett is not going to get benched in the first half of the first game.
Ooh, that'd
be
tasty.
But if everybody loves Josh Dobbs,
yes.
The takeaway is, of course, they don't need another quarterback.
Ah.
Which would mean
okay.
Old Jimmy G does not have the Browns as a landing spot.
Hmm. So the plot thickens. Now, I would love this. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo played this perfectly, right? Ends up getting cut. Doesn't get the big money deal. Doesn't sign with them. I mean, what is this? What happens if Jimmy Garoppolo is? It's not going to happen because quarterbacks are needed across the league. He's going to be somewhere. But I always like to play that what if. Like, what if he didn't even land on a team this year?
But can you pull up something? Because I think you'll be able to get it quicker than I. What is the Niners quarterback depth chart right now? I want to see something here. Because there's an aspect of this that I'm starting to wonder on a little bit. No, it's not if they keep him at $20-plus million. So don't think that's what I'm kind of wondering.
Yeah.
But what does that depth chart look like right
now? Let's see. All right. So we got
Beathard,
the
Mullen. I feel like those guys are all gone.
Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously still on the team. Nate Sudfeld, our old friend.
Oh, wow.
And Trey Lance. So basically, Jimmy Garoppolo gets moved on from. Trey Lance goes down. This team might not win another game. That's what I'm feeling.
So now you'll, like, is, like, what are the teams that will actually need to upgrade their backup quarterback position will be the Niners?
Yeah.
They are going to lose him.
Man.
Like, it's pretty incredible, right?
Yeah.
Like, his perfect fit might just be the football team that he is on. It's just that he is making far too much money at this point in time.
Yes, but he can't be there because he would impede the maturation process of Trey Lance, and Trey Lance would look over his shoulder. But if Trey Lance gets hurt, they would love Jimmy Garoppolo to be there. Isn't that fantastic? Like, what a world we live in at this point here.
Is he going to Cam Newton and just kind of wait it out a little bit and not sign with somebody?
Maybe, yes. Because also, you have to remember, rosters are basically made up at this point. Like, you're cutting, like, I don't think anybody's, hey, let's add him for, because he can't really help you right off the bat. So if you're Jimmy Garoppolo, why would you just say, hey, the Jets want to get you? Well, all right, I'm going to be able to, hold on. I probably could have had a better scenario if I waited 2 weeks and said, all right, this team needs a viable backup quarterback. I think I can make it happen. Because if you're signed with the Jets and Patrick Mahomes goes down in week two, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm with the Jets.
Right.
Jeez.
I do wonder how many backdoor conversations have been had Like, maybe he already knows where he's looking to go.
If, yeah.
And you know, you would hope so, right? Because we one thing that I know I've said, and I think you agree, is like his agents have really, it doesn't appear to have done him any favors at this point in time of the negotiations and trying to figure out what is best for him. It feels like it's just been a lot of sitting around and waiting.
Yeah, I'm interested because you're right. There has to be something going on in the back because there's no way that the 49ers can't play it off and say, we paid Jimmy Garoppolo a lot of money, and just because we're going to cut him and he's going to get no money this year, he's got to remember we paid him and we have his contract. That's not really how things work because Jimmy Garoppolo, the same way we were screaming for Baker Mayfield, Baker, go to the building. They'll cut you immediately. You will move on with your football career.
Yep.
I, you know, I'm happy with this stuff, and a trade is imminent. And weeks went by, and we kept saying to ourselves, the only person getting hurt here is Baker Mayfield, not the Browns. The 49ers own all the cards. They can cut him at the last minute, not pay a dime, and where does Jimmy end up going? And apparently, Kevin, he's fine with it.
You're so right. Imagine if Baker Mayfield was still on a team, how crazy that would be. If that guy was still on the team right now.
Hold on. Somebody could make a trade for him at any moment, but he's still here and not practicing with us.
We'd be like, what's going on here? Does he not want to play? Like, what's there? It'd be like a mystery thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, why is Baker not forcing his way out? Why are they not moving? Well, in fact, if he was still on the team, we'd be like, he's going to start week one. It would actually be the conversation we'd have to ramp up and everything. But it's just pretty incredible to see this lack of movement that has come from Garoppolo there. And again, you know, you cannot tell me he is not a Seahawk because they are tanking. That is incorrect. They've kicked the tires. They've been interested. Okay? The reason that he currently does not have himself a starting job is because he somehow thought that he was going to get a big contract from one of these football teams or be able to sign or keep his money for the trade. Just embarrassing stuff.
It is. That's football. We're getting closer to the NFL. But you know what we got next? Final segment, picks. Let's send you off into the night with some dubs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. Final segment here on a Monday afternoon on Moneyline. Donnie, Kevin, JP is going to chime in here again to let us know where he's going. The Yankees activate Clay Holmes today for a Monday return. But we got picks, picks, and more picks. Now, there's no college football, there's no NFL, so obviously I'm going to stick to the Major League Baseball card. I got two of them today, both run lines, both on the first five innings. The first one, St. Louis Cardinals, a little bit pricey here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, but it's at a minus 154. And also the Philadelphia Phillies run line first five innings, a minus 120 price. Two halves going up against have-nots. I'm taking them both down. That's where I'm going. JP, remind the people again where we're at.
I'm taking the Yankees on the run line, -1.5. It's only minus 110. I'll do it.
There you go. We're going halves and have-nots tonight. So where are you at, K-Dub?
Yeah, look, so I'll tell you this right now, okay? The strikeout prop market is not one that I've really been able to dive headfirst into. It feels like a little bit. I don't want to officially declare I'm done with them. And by the way, nothing went wrong. Just the interest level has kind of tapered off a bit. But there is a game today that I have interest in. And that, of course, involves the Minnesota Twins and the Boston Red Sox. My man, Brian Bello. I'm betting the over of 8.5. I know you broke it down this morning. Be careful. Bello's been better. Maybe Bundy matches up against this Boston lineup. I do not care. 8.5, Donnie. We're over in Minnesota, Boston.
There you go. So we're going some overs today. So we should have some fun. But I think you're right. I think you brought up the key word here. Interest is starting to wane. I was going with Ben this morning on the morning after. I remember cross breaks. I'm like, you know, we're about a week away from baseball saying, Donnie, what do you got on the card today? All right, let me check real quick. This game looks all right. And, you know, no more two segments probably of breaking games down. We'll just include them because football season is here. And it's time to get busy. We'll have fun with baseball, but we know the time of the year. Now, if you tuned in today, you got much, much more of this the rest of the week as we get you prepared for week one in college football. So for Donnie, Kevin, and JP, it's Moneyline. But you know what the best part is? We will be back tomorrow. See you then.